think a lot of Christians feel completely disqualified because of their mental health. They just feel like, well, I'm broken.
Which is just a lie of the enemy.
Exactly. God doesn't want his people to be weak and quiet. He wants them to be bold and strong.
Helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world.
Helping everyday Christians succeed in evangelism, ministry, and the Christian life.
From the northeast corner of the United States of America,
this is the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast. This is Corey and James, your host, and I'm so thankful that you chose to join in the conversation. Well, today we have a married couple. We have Jen and Scott. I'm really excited to have them here. Jen has written a book called Biblical Keys to Better Mental Health. They have also started Holo Solutions, which is a Christian discipleship ministry. Tell me about yourself and your family. Later on, we're going to hear a little bit about your story, how you came to know the Lord.
Okay, so Scott and I have been married 28 and a half years. We met in high school. We both grew up in Southern New Hampshire. I was from Nashua and he is from Hudson, New Hampshire. We met through our high school, which was a Catholic high school. I went to the all-girls Catholic high school, and he went to the all-boys Catholic high school, and we were brother-sister schools. We shared a bus system, so the boys would be picked up first and come to the school to pick up the girls, and then the boys would come see their girlfriends, or big brothers would be coming to pick up their little sisters. So the boys were there at the end of the day.
I don't know why they say separate schools, because you guys pretty much always come together anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For dances or whatever.
Yes, yeah. That's yeah. True. So we were definitely brother sister schools, like that's how it was. I was not brought up Catholic, but Scott was. But my parents chose this school for me because it was much smaller, more intimate. It was a college prep school. I think they were afraid that I would get really lost and trampled in the high school, which was just really growing and really big.
Were you a little bit more quiet as a child?
Not necessarily. I think my parents felt like in such a big school, I probably would have been more quiet. Less attention from teachers, things like that. Reluctantly, I went. I didn't really want to go to an all-girls school, but it was the right choice. So Scott and I met through high school. We were married in 1995. He actually followed me out to college. We went to Southwest Baptist University. Aww. In Bolivar, Missouri. This was huge for him. Like I said, he was brought up Catholic. He started going to church with me at my church, which was Southern Baptist, raised Southern Baptist in New Hampshire, which that's a weird thing too. Every Southern Baptist in New England knows what I'm talking about. So he started coming to church with me because I told him, I said, if you want to be with me, I'll mm-hmm. be at church.
I love that.
Friday nights, I'll be with the youth group. And Sunday mornings, I'll be at church. Sunday afternoon, I'll be in church. Wednesday nights, I'll be at church. You
know, 24/7. Yeah. 24/7.
Jen and her family were very active in their church, very actively involved. I just wanted to be with her. And so I was like, I'll go to church with you. That's fine. It's different from my church, but I'm into you. So I'm going to go to church with you. And the first couple times were very different. You know, being raised Catholic, went through all the sacraments. I was an altar boy, you know, went every Sunday with my mom and my brother. I remember the first time I went to a service, I said to her, I was like, well, that was an interesting mass. And she corrected me, said service. I was like, okay. And I said, who's that lady your priest is talking to? And she said, well, that's his wife. I was like, what? And so my mind was just blown again, being brought up
Catholic.
Scandalous. But began to hang out more with her youth group. And I would go to Catholic mass on Sunday morning with my mom and then drive across town to attend church with Jen and her family.
That is really great. I was actually brought up Catholic. Mm-hmm. That's really where my curiosity of Christ started. Mm-hmm. I remember going to the Sunday night classes for, what is it, when you're 16?
CCD and yes, confirmation.
CCD and confirmation. Yeah. And I remember sitting there saying, who is this Jesus they keep talking about? So it really did kind of lay a foundation and curiosity of who Christ was.
I remember part of my salvation experience was just noticed that there was something different about Jen. I couldn't put my finger on it. And so I just started asking questions. Going to a Catholic high school, you know, I knew what the Bible was, but I didn't know a lot of what was in it. I learned a lot about Catholicism, but not about the Bible. Just getting to know Jen and getting to hang out with her youth group and starting to do those types of things, I was like, this isn't what I expected. It's not what I thought it was. I was always oldest son, first child, very by the book. And so I was always the good boy. My younger brother, not as much, but he wasn't a bad. Yeah, exactly. But I was very, you know.
Jesse's a good man. He's just very rambunctious.
I was very by the book. I sort of reflecting back, I got caught in what I think I called the good person trap. I thought I was going to heaven because I was a good person. You know, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't steal. I did all the, it was all the things I wasn't doing.
Wondering about this word trap. There are so many good guys, good women who are just good people. And to not understand that even in that goodness, as wonderful as that is, we're still sinners. And that's the part I think that is sometimes hard to see because you're such a good guy.
It's like, that's why it really is a good person trap, because you're comfortable and you can tell yourself that, you know, it's like, well, I'm doing all the right things and I have the right thoughts and I'm doing all this. I was a senior in high school and I was asked to lead a junior retreat at the school. I was one of a handful of seniors who were leading this junior retreat. I had to leave early to attend a youth event with Jen, a weekend youth event. It was in Framingham at the Sheraton Terra, called YEC, or YEC, which is a terrible acronym, but a wonderful program. That Saturday night, I had an encounter with the creator of the universe, like I hadn't ever before.
And you were 17 years old?
I was 17
years old. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I just really listened to the preaching, and it was geared towards teenagers. I just began to get this feeling that he was talking about me. Again, I knew who the person of Jesus was. I knew that he came to die for everyone. But I think before that, I'd never really thought about what I had done in my life and the sin that was in my life. That Saturday night, I didn't know this at the time, but Jen and her whole youth group were praying. I had a physiological reaction where I could not breathe until in my head, I acknowledged that I was a sinner and I need Jesus. When I did that, I was able to say it. You know, I said, I need Jesus because I don't have him. Went up front, I was a blubbery, crying mess. Everything just pouring out of my face. That was the night that I got saved. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I wouldn't say to the chagrin of my parents. My parents didn't fully understand, but I think they saw a change in me.
I find that there's something attractive about a humble man. Somebody who can raise their hands to the Lord. Somebody who can cry in the presence of the Lord, somebody who bows their knee before them. I find that, I don't know about you, Jen, but I find that attractive, that humility before the Lord.
Absolutely.
So I know what you're saying and how you were feeling, but I bet for you, you were like, yes.
We could keep dating at that point. It was a good thing. Definitely a good thing.
So you said you have children.
Yes. Three kids. Our oldest is Caleb. He's 23. He lives in Kansas City, and he graduated from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, or Spurgeon College. He has a calling on his life to be a missionary, and so he is preparing for that, has a couple bills to pay, and so he's working in Kansas City, but he is really eager to get back overseas. He's going to have an opportunity to go back to India this November with his church and visit some friends over there. And then he'd like to be over there longer term in the future. Our middle child, Bethany, is a senior at Southwest Baptist, where Jen and I both graduated, out in Bolivar, Missouri. And she is a cybersecurity major. And then Sarah, she is a biomedical major. And so she is planning to go on to medical school. She's not 100% sure what she wants to focus on yet, but she's wants to go to medical school and be a doctor.
Wow.
And she's 19. Bethany is 21.
So in college, what did you study and did you graduate with degrees?
I ended up with two bachelor's degree, psychology and sociology. They just overlapped so much that it was just easy to just go ahead and do that, which was great because I had a much better, well-rounded degree that way. So that was really good. I knew I wanted to pursue psychology when I was in high school. I took a psychology class and it just felt right for me.
And I graduated, so I was a year before Jen. And so I actually did a year of college up at Plymouth State College. And then my spring break that year, traveled out to Missouri to visit the school and learn more about it. So I did 3 years there, graduated in 95 with a commercial art degree, which is sort of an outdated term for graphic design.
Okay.
And so I'm a graphic designer, graduated in 95. I worked for 2 years, waited for Jen to graduate, and we worked together and lived in Springfield for a year. And then I went to University of Illinois to get my master's in advertising. I've got those degrees. And then we got pregnant with Caleb and moved back to New England. A few years after that, Jen continued her studies.
I want to go back a little bit to you, Jen. Did you want to share a little bit about your salvation story? Did you want to share that?
Sure. Being brought up in church, you know, you're always encouraged to share your testimony, right? Like, that's the main thing. We're always taught to share our testimony. And there's a lot of people like me who were brought up in the church and they don't quite remember the moment. If you bring up a child in the church, it's hard to know sometimes for some of us what exactly the moment was. I know for me, I've prayed the salvation prayer probably a million times. Went to every summer camp and everything that we did for kids in the church. We were always led to receive Christ. So I prayed it a million times and I really don't recall which one took. Seriously.
Did you have an experience early on in your life?
I did. You know, it's actually my first memory in my whole life was a God moment. And that's probably one reason why I can't pinpoint, because I kind of feel like I've always known God because of this very early encounter. But I was probably 2 years old. I was old enough to be able to climb out of my crib and walk and run, but I was still in my crib. So I was littleish. I was in bed one night in my crib. My mom was out in the living room watching TV. I could hear the TV. My door was cracked. I could see the hallway light through the crack in the door. I know my dad was down the hall in bed because he had to get up really early to drive to work. So he went to bed early and my nightlight was on. I had that little Bo Peep nightlight in the Toy Story. I had that one. And the nightlight part was on. So I could see my room. My crib was right next to my door. Straight across from my crib was, I think there were two windows in my room. In the right side window, a man appeared in my window. He was not outside my window looking in. He was in my window. This man, there were no window panes. He was in the window. As I looked at him, I could see every detail of his face. It's like time slowed down. I could see every hair on his head. He had salt and pepper hair. It was parted down the middle. His hair was mostly pepper, more pepper than salt. His hair was shoulder length and long. He was a olive colored man, small brown eyes, very thin, long nose. He was probably in his 60s, not really old, but not young either. He was wearing white linen. He was perfectly lit up and he just wore a plain white linen robe. And he was just looking at me like any good Bible character who encounters a heavenly being. I screamed.
Who wouldn't scream? I mean, how many times does the Bible say, do not be afraid? Why? Yeah. Because we're going to scream.
Of course, when you read the biblical, what angels look like.
Yeah, right?
Screaming might be appropriate.
Thank goodness this person looked very normal and unassuming. So I didn't see a seraphim. Yeah, that would have been really creepy. But I screamed, climbed out of my crib and ran down the hall to my dad and jumped in bed with him. And that was it. Nothing was said to me. I had no other interpretation at the time, but I always remembered it. I always remembered it.
Later on, did you pray about that and seek God about what that was? And did he kind of bring that all together for you and give you some insight into that?
Yeah, definitely. I never forgot it. It was always there in my mind. The Lord always brought my memory back to it. And finally, in 2017, not that long ago, after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and knew the Lord better, I just asked him, I'm like, Lord, who was that? And he immediately said in my mind, John the Revelator. Never expected him to say that. I thought maybe an angel, maybe it was Jesus even, but never thought he'd say John the Revelator.
Could you tell us what that means?
The John that wrote Revelation.
Gotcha.
You know, the John on Patmos. You know, I inquired a little bit about that. Why did John come to see me? God just kind of said, you're a type and kind as John. Kind of like when you think back to Genesis and he's talking about animals and, you know, the types and kinds of animals. I was a type and kind like John, a follower, giftings and calling similar like John.
That really helps you receive that calling that the Lord has on your life. That's really great.
It's been interesting because she used to tell me the story about the man in the window as we were dating. And so this was as far back as, you know, in the early 90s when we started dating. And so this isn't something that is recent. You know, she's always told me about this. Certainly when we started dating, I was kind of like, okay, that's a little weird. And even still, I'm still like, okay. I haven't experienced that, but that story has never changed. So this isn't a recent revelation to her. This isn't a recent story. This is something that she's been consistently telling me. I've heard it, gosh, hundreds of times at this point.
Well, I'm just thinking about it. It's kind of funny because you said that you can't come up with a point in time. I think that was at a point in time. When you're talking about your walk with the Lord and you're like, I don't have a point. I don't know. That sounds like a point to me that he was revealing himself to you.
Yeah.
And now all these years later,
Yeah.
He's saying, yep, I'm bringing that all together into a nice little package so you can understand it more at this age where you are spiritually now, to just wrap it all up. And I can identify, I brought my husband, I was a Christian and he was not. And I remember the first time I took him to church, he was like, what is happening here? I just remember at one point saying to him, we were dating for like 6-7 months and I talked about the Lord all the time. And I remember saying, why are you still dating me? Because I was thinking, you must think I'm crazy. And he said, I don't know, there's just something about you.
It's just something.
It was kind of, it's what you said about Jen. And I'm like, different. There's something about you.
I had dated other girls. It was fine, but I just, there was something. And we were friends before we started dating.
Yeah.
Both schools were not that large. And so we just got to know each other through mutual friends. I was friends with some of the guys she was dating. She was friends with some of the girls that I was dating. We both just got dumped on the same day.
Oh.
Yes.
I knew she got dumped before she knew.
Scott actually broke up with me for my boyfriend.
That was very nice of you. Yeah. Slide right in there, right? It's all right.
But
I'll go tell her.
In fact, now that I realize, you knew that I was getting dumped before I knew I was getting dumped.
We both knew. Yeah.
I knew you had gotten dumped, but because the schools were separate, you know, the girls talk, the guys talk. And I was seeing a girl and I guess she had said to everybody, it's like, I'm breaking up with Scott today. And the guy that Jen was seeing told me, had told several of the other guys, like, me and Jen broke up. And I was like, oh, sorry to hear that.
Which I didn't know about, but whatever.
Here we go. God turns all things to good, right?
Exactly. Show up to her school one day and she's like, oh, sorry about, you know, and got dumped. And she's like, oh, sorry about you and T. And I was like, oh, you know, sorry about you and Keith. And she's like, what?
It was Mark.
It was Mark. I'm sorry. And so it was just fortuitous that way. And we had went to basketball games and knew her for there. We ran into each other at the mall, which was a thing back in the 90s.
Yes. We're showing our age with the malls, but yes.
Where we used to hang out. And Scott and I actually got together through a God moment. You know, I guess that's part of that prophetic thing that God had me a part of since the crib. He was going to ask me out after probably several weeks of kind of hanging out and dating a little bit. He told my friend that he was going to ask me out. She said, what are you going to say? And I said, I don't know. Like, I just wasn't feeling anything. I was just kind of blank. She's like, well, you better figure it out because he's going to ask you tomorrow.
And I was like, pressure.
Okay. So I prayed that night. I'm like, God, I had already asked God months before, just bring me my husband. I'm seriously tired of dating. This is silly.
And this was April of my junior year and your sophomore year.
It was silly. I was just like, God, I'm just done with this.
No, I don't think it's silly at all. I think that's so good.
Well, the dating thing was silly.
I was over it. Yeah.
I was over it. Yeah. So I was like, God, just bring me my husband. Scott comes along and I don't want to do this again unless this is the one, but you know, how do I know? So Scott comes to the school after school, like the boys did, and saw me there. And he and I walked a friend home. We turned around to come back to the school to get in our cars and go home. As we're walking back, he stopped us in front of this park. We're on the sidewalk. He turns to me and asks me out. Will you go out with me? I was completely still blank. So he does not know I'm a Christian at this point. He has no idea what's going on. In my head, I was like, okay, God. Like, I kind of looked up and I'm like, God, you need to tell me now. Like, now. I need to know now. And I just kind of put my head down because he's waiting for an answer. I see on the ground on the sidewalk, there was a natural gas plug. City of Nashua Public Works gas company. In bright orange Public Works paint, it said okay. Like, spelled out okay. O-K-A-Y. Like, not just okay. It was O-K-A-Y. And I looked at it and I was like, and way bigger than the plug. Yeah. I was like, okay. And he looked down and saw the okay and was like, okay.
Oh, that's so cute.
And I swear on a stack of Bibles, I was not out there the night before with a can of spray paint.
Come on, you planned that perfectly, didn't you? That's funny.
I never thought of that. Huh. Now I'm sus.
I think that's a God story, just confirmation. When you walk through marriage and go through all these ups and downs, you're like, nope, Lord, I remember that okay. And I remember this.
Yeah.
We're going to work it out.
And it's one of those things where, you know, I was 17 years old. I was a junior in high school. I wasn't thinking about marriage at that point. I was just, I thought she was a really interesting, pretty girl who I'd gotten to know. And I thought she was really cool. And like I said, I did know you were a Christian. I knew you were a Christian. I didn't know you were a Christian, but I thought I knew you were a Christian. And then again, getting to know you even more through that intrigued me more and more because you weren't like girls I had dated before.
That's a testimony in and of itself. So tell me where you guys are right now. What do you do? And is it God-given? Are you feel like you're working in your gifts? Because we had the Holo ministry that you're starting now. You have a book. How did that all happen? How did that get birthed in you?
So I kind of always had feelings like I was supposed to write a book, but no idea what about. And I'd kind of tried to throw around topics and titles in my head over many years. I just knew I was supposed to write a book, but had no idea what about and for who and about what. And then I also started probably just a few years ago thinking I was supposed to start a business. It was actually during COVID. I had a scare because of all the COVID stuff. So I was afraid that I was going to have to go out on my own anyways.
What were you doing?
I've been working for Veterans Health Administration, okay, vet centers for over 12 years. That is a very huge and special part of my life. During 9/11, we're sitting on our couch watching the buildings fall over and over and over again. Caleb, who was only maybe 18 months old, was playing on the floor in front of us. Scott was next to me, just so distraught.
Came home from, I worked in Boston at the time. We just sat there and watched it. I was in the shadow of the Prudential building in Boston. I worked on Newberry Street. They sent us all home early because we didn't know what was going to happen next.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
so
no
got home on the tee and was just numb.
We're sitting there on the couch and I was pregnant with Bethany, feeling extremely vulnerable. You don't know if war is about to break out. At this point, everyone kind of knew because two planes had hit. And it's like, okay, that was not an accident. Two is not an accident. So we knew something was up. So feeling extremely vulnerable and also feeling like we have to do something. A lot of people felt that. A lot of people joined the military at that point. Just people kind of hopped to it. Americans hopped to it. But I couldn't. I was pregnant. Like, I was not going to be doing that. As I sat there thinking, what can I do? I knew we were going to go to war. And so I just told myself, I'll join them when they get back and be with them. And they, meaning our service members, veterans, coming back from whatever they were going to have to do, that I would join them at that point and just walk with them in the aftermath. And so I've been doing that. I work for VA vet centers. I'm a trauma therapist for combat veterans and sexually traumatized veterans. We work with PTSD, readjustment, and moral injury, sexual assault. That's what MST is, military sexual trauma.
Wow.
Anyone who's experienced military sexual trauma is eligible for vet center. We are part of the VA, and so I work closely with the clinics and the medical centers, but vet centers are separate. We are by ourselves, you know, near a clinic usually, and all we have is talk therapy. There's no prescribers on our staff. So we have psychologists and social workers and licensed mental health counselors, marriage and family counselors. Those are the four modalities that we have at vet centers. So I've been doing that for 12 years.
So you work for a vet center?
Yep. The Worcester Vet Center in Massachusetts.
And I'll take a second to brag on Jen here because she won't do it. She saved lives. She's worked with hundreds of veterans at this point. She doesn't really talk about it, but she will occasionally need to clean out her desk that's filled with just thank you cards from her veterans that say, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you.
Like right where God placed you.
Yeah, so I'm doing exactly what I want to be doing. Exactly, to a T. I wanted to sit in an office and do mental health therapy with veterans, and that's what I'm doing. So
wow,
it's wonderful. I do groups,
wow,
one-on-one therapy, marriage counseling. Me and my guys go to breakfast twice a month. We have a great time. I'm actually going with my boss this week. We're going to go up to New Hampshire and lead a retreat with veterans up at Winnipesaukee. I love the Vet Center. It's a great program. I will say it is a great use of taxpayer money. I will say we use your money well. We are saving our veterans' lives. We are giving them a community. We are attending to their needs. We are getting them out in the community and having fun with them. I have a disc golf veterans group, so I bring my vets disc golfing, which Scott and I do on the weekends. Mm-hmm. It's completely free to our eligible veterans. I brag, it is the best use of taxpayer money.
No, I find that really great to hear because you really, unfortunately, hear a lot of the failures of our country supporting our vets.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad to hear that they have this and you're a part of
it.
We always realize our country does a fantastic job. Our military does a fantastic job of turning normal citizens into soldiers and sending them off. And when they come back, they don't always do a great job of turning those soldiers back into citizens. A reaction that's appropriate overseas when your life's in danger isn't always appropriate when you're back here with your wife and kids or at work. I'm very proud that Jen works with those men and women to help them adjust to life back here.
I have a daughter who is in the service now. She's been there a year. She's in the Air Force. She's doing really great. But she's had to do some training, and it's important training when you're out there. I just pray protection around her all the time. But I also know she's 100% where God called her to be.
Mm-hmm.
She graduated from school 4 years with a degree in criminal justice. She did an internship program at the Webster Investigation Unit. They kind of big brothered her a bit and actually told her that going into the Air Force would be a great next step. Get a job with clearance. And of course, she's so smart. So she ended up being able to pick whatever she wanted to get into. So she's on planes right now. That's all I'll say about that.
Our oldest daughter is hoping to do Space Force.
Okay.
With cybersecurity. Yes. Yeah. She's hoping. So
yeah.
She'll graduate in May.
I think that's great. And my daughter's like, I think I need it backwards. Shouldn't I have gone in the service first and then went to college? I'm like, no. You did God's plan.
No.
Because you have that degree.
Yeah.
And God is going to pull it all together. You are 100% making the steps that he's planning the path. Exactly.
Yeah.
She's actually today had an interview with all of her superiors lined up as they fire questions at her to rank up sooner.
Outstanding.
So, yeah.
They're talking like OTA, officer training school?
I'm sorry. I don't know none of this. All of this is over my head. And I'm sorry, Michaela. So sorry.
Officer training school.
I have no idea. I don't know.
She comes home often and speaks in code that I don't understand either because everything is an acronym.
Right. Yeah. She's like shooting off all these letters. I'm like, great. Yep.
What's funny though is if you ask her what some of those acronyms are, she might not know some of them.
What you have to do or what it, but not actually what those mean.
I'll ask some of my vets what the acronym means and they're like, oh, I'm not sure. So that's funny.
So I just think that's great that you're doing that work. And it's almost like laying a foundation, like I was just saying about my daughter, but you know, your steps forward with every door that God opens, preparing you in college to do what you're doing. And I'm just looking at you because you're doing all this technical stuff, which is a huge support.
Absolutely.
Because I think about my husband, I couldn't be sitting here doing this if he didn't do all this.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, he didn't know how to do all this.
Yeah.
But he's got the mind that he can go sit with somebody and then he's like, I got it. I'll go do it. I don't have a mind like that. I don't have a technical mind. Just how God puts couples together as well to support each other in areas
for
that
sure.
they lack, right? I just think that's
I wouldn't have even considered doing Holos without Scott. I can't do the things. Like you said, I have my part, the supporting part to be able to do my part. I would not be able to do unless I had Scott. Mm-hmm. He is literally the other half. You know, I am half and he's the other half.
You're out here doing this, but there's this huge 75% of this back room that nobody sees and nobody knows about, but you could not function without it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm the half without empathy, which is great because I could never do what Jen does.
He's like, I'll just set it up, but I'm not having a conversation.
People come in a room and tell you their problems. I'd be like, well, stop it.
Knock it off. Yeah.
But she manages to find a wonderful way to say stop it, allow them to be like, maybe I should stop that. What she does, she's really good at that. And I work through design, started working in social media when I was working for another huge company here in New England several years ago, about 10 years ago. Did that for 5 years, was let go there. Now work for another large company here. I work for Hasbro. I play with toys for a living. I do their social media for several of their brands,
Nice.
Which is great because I'm a huge kid at heart.
You get to play all day.
So many Nerf guns in our house.
Nerf blasters.
Sorry.
Nerf blasters.
Sorry.
We have to say Nerf blasters.
Absolutely. Nerf blasters. I apologize, Hasbro. Yes.
And Monopoly games, My Little Pony, and all sorts of things. So yeah, I have to.
He literally takes pictures of himself playing with toys.
I play with toys and she saves lives.
This is accurate.
I love that. So back to Holos. This started in 2017 or was that just more recently
Holos
than that?
Particularly 2022.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, so just recently.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what is that? Can you please explain to me what that means? Is it an acronym for something? How did that come about?
Holos is Greek for whole. It's a Greek word. You know, the Bible has all that Greek. It can be kitschy like that. So I found a good Greek word to use since it is a Christian ministry. I wanted to have something kind of like that, something that sounded kind of neat. Holos has a little bit of a sound of wholeness.
Yeah.
So it actually means that whole, complete. All during 2022, God was giving me the blueprint, what it would look like, the wholeness, the complete, the combination of what I do professionally, the mental health, and then what God does is what he does, you know, the Bible, Christ, everything, the promises and provisions that we have available to us because of Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so our logo is blue and green, the green being kind of natural, the world, greenery, trees, grass, natural, and then the blue being Christ, the water, supernatural. Holos Solutions is bringing together the natural and the supernatural solutions to mental health issues that believers are finding themselves stuck in. Yeah.
That sounds perfect. And there is a huge lack of Christian counsel out there. There really is.
That's how I think this even started. That was sort of the seed, is I know Jen had a lot of people, when they found out what she did and found out that she was a Christian, would be like, will you be my Christian counselor? Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, I can't, you know, I have a job. I do this professionally. I already have a job. We realized that there was a need for that.
There absolutely is.
And we know that through all sorts of news clippings, you hear about it, and then just living, doing life in the church, you realize that sometimes churches don't always do a great job of addressing psychological needs, people who are struggling with mental health issues. Not for lack of trying, I think it's for lack of equipping.
And also the pastoral staff, a lot of them are trained in biblical counseling, and I think they do a great job, but there's just some mental health issues that might be a little too extensive. And so I've dealt with multiple.
You could probably see something that somebody else couldn't.
Yeah.
You may be able to see a little bit deeper by the way they're talking or their mannerisms that maybe somebody else couldn't.
I mean, I believe Jesus is the ultimate solution to every single problem imaginable. When someone is struggling with mental health, just saying to them, Jesus is the answer, that doesn't quite do it for them, you know, because they are so distraught, they're so oppressed, afflicted.
Some tangible step they can work out, or a little bit of guidance that is pointing them to Christ.
Yeah.
It's just those steps that maybe they're, that are missing, that they need a little bit of help. Walking through.
And that's where the natural comes in. So using psychological tools, things that I've done over the years to help people get to a place where they can hear the supernatural stuff and then start to employ that in their own lives. This is a ministry for Christians. However, the gospel will always be shared with unbelievers. Undoubtedly, I'll have unbelievers want to participate. And so they will be offered the gospel. Because a lot of this stuff, one of the major keys in the book is the Holy Spirit. And as an unbeliever, you know, you don't have the Holy Spirit yet. But it's so easy to become a believer and to receive, you know, all that Jesus has for us and all that he, you know, sacrificed on the cross to give us, that once you just receive Christ and what he did for you, you receive the Holy Spirit. And everything that Holos has, you know, everything that the Bible has is at your fingertips. And Holos is meant to just help people understand and utilize the biblical principles in their own lives to overcome mental health. I don't believe any Christian should be stuck in mental health. We have, you know, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And so if that Spirit can raise Jesus from the dead, he can help us overcome anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia. I don't care what diagnosis you have. I believe a Christian can overcome anything.
I, as a Christian, struggled with fear and anxiety for a good 10 years. Couldn't figure out what was going on. You know, literally took trips in the ambulance to the hospital three times in a year because I think I'm having a heart attack. And they keep telling me I'm not. And I'm like, okay,
panic
there's
attacks.
Something wrong with me. Up pacing the floor at night, climbing in bed with one of my kids because I can't sleep, or laying outside in the entryway because I can't breathe. All of that stuff. The spiritual aspect of that is going to another church, worshiping, and the Lord showed me a vision during worship. I was standing in the light and it was dark all around me, and there was something that kept coming from the dark into the light, and I couldn't see what it was. And then as it got closer, it kind of went slower and slower. It was fear and anxiety. Immediately, the Holy Spirit that lives in me, I saw a lion rise up and just roar. And immediately, fear and anxiety fell to their knees. And my fear and anxiety was broken right then and there. Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Praise
so
Lord.
I know 100% the Lord can and will do it.
Yep.
Why did I do it for 10 years? I have no idea.
Yeah. Like you said, he'll use it for good though.
And I remember I convinced my husband to get a motorcycle because I always wanted one. So he got one, went to do all the lessons. And I remember the first time I got on it, we literally just went around the block and I got off panicked. I'm like, I can't do it. And he looked at me and he's like,
are you kidding me?
Exactly. He's like, I just bought this, did all this, and you tell me. And immediately it was like Satan just coming again, trying to attack again. And I remember standing there crying. I just rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You are not going to steal the joy from my life. And just that reminder to just break that in the name of Jesus. And it was gone again. When you're in it, you can't see the light.
Right. Yeah.
Being in the trenches and working that out with somebody is huge.
One of the biblical keys in the book is spiritual warfare. It's just helping Christians understand that they have an enemy. Like you said, even when we've experienced healing, the enemy will keep trying to convince us that it didn't take, it wasn't real. I mean, you did the exact right thing. You just told it, no, go away. That is really what it takes, is just continuing to stand in your identity in Christ, which identity is another key in the book. When you utilize all these keys at the same time, a believer can overcome just about anything.
So all these keys that you have in the book, do you feel like that's something that you prayed about and the Lord helped you put those together, pulling out those keys and bringing them all together with spiritual into the natural, and these specific, what are they, six keys?
There's eight keys.
Eight keys.
Which, for sure. And just kind of looking at my my own life. I had a childhood trauma growing up, not growing up, but when I was like 6 years old, a stranger danger incident. Didn't know that I had developed PTSD. It was when I started working with the vets. And I was like, wow, I am just like these guys.
Wow.
You know, just like these guys, but I am not a combat vet. I have not been to war. Obviously, I knew what it was. You know, I knew what my trauma was. Went back through the DSM-5 and went through the criteria. And I'm like, oh, wow, I actually do meet criteria. As I'm working with my vets, I'm literally working on myself. Everything that I work on with them, I've had to work on in myself. It's like my voice speaking the treatments my ears were hearing and taking for myself. And then being baptized in the Holy Spirit in 2016 was kind of a pivotal mark for me. That just kind of made everything clear. I feel like the Lord just really healed me. I don't meet criteria for PTSD anymore. I have a couple hangups, but I don't meet criteria. Most veterans are kind of under the understanding that PTSD doesn't ever get better, that you won't come out of criteria. I can say differently, they can. And I've seen a lot of my vets, they still have hangups, but a lot of them, the intensity and frequency of their symptoms have gone way down.
That's huge. You said getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. In 2016?
Yes.
Were you alone with the Lord? Were you at a service? And what did that look like?
On an airplane. Oh. Actually, completely by myself. I was working at the vet center during that time, and I was actually experiencing a lot of vicarious trauma. So I was meeting criteria for PTSD, and now I'm having vicarious trauma.
What does that mean?
Because I'm working with the vets and hearing their trauma, I'm taking on...
Okay, you're carrying that.
Kind of secondhand trauma. She would come home from work and just shut down.
Yeah, literally. So I had kind of expressed, you know, some of my distress to my pastor. He just said, I pray that the Lord would send you a counselor.
The Holy Spirit.
That's who it ended up being.
I don't know that's who he meant.
Well, he actually said that. I said... I told my pastor I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I said, it's because of you said that you hoped the Lord would bring me a counselor. And he's like, I didn't think it would be the great counselor, but that's wonderful.
Wow.
So
you were just praying on a plane, asking God?
The Lord actually sent me a friend at the vet center. It was actually a combat vet himself, had some tours in Afghanistan, and he was a fellow counselor and became a friend. You know, we found out that we were both Christians, so we just became, you know, very good friends. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to teach this guy something about the Bible, you know, but it ended up being that he was teaching me about the Bible.
Wow.
And something that I had missed, which was the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had read all those verses. Mm-hmm. I knew them. I just never saw it and didn't think it was a thing anymore. He asked me if I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was like, yeah. And he's like, do you speak in tongues? And I'm like, no. And he's like, then you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, okay. You know. So, you know, I was a little offended. And then he just started reading to me. He just pulled out his phone and start right out of the Bible. And I couldn't argue with that. He said, why don't you pray, you know, for God baptizing in the Holy Spirit? Because he knew I was very involved. Like, he's like, why are you going to all this trouble being so involved with your church, and you're not even equipped with all the gifts and tools that you could have? Like, Holy Spirit will give you so much more to do this stuff. And I was like, okay. You know, still kind of a chip on my shoulder. He challenged me. And so, you know, the first night, it was like a Monday night or like a Sunday night, I prayed, you know, all right, God, you know, if you want me to have it, I'll have it. That's fine. Okay. So I go in the next morning. He's like, did you pray? And I said, yeah. And he's like, did it happen? I was like, no. He's like, keep praying. So Monday night comes. I'm like, God, I'll take it if you want. I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was it, you know, and went in the next day, and he's like, did you pray? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, did it happen? I'm like, no, nothing happened. He's like, keep praying. All the while he's being attacked. You know, he said the enemy was telling him, see, she's not going to get it. See, you just wasted your time. You thought you heard that she needed it, but you were wrong. I didn't know this. You know, the next night I pray, and I'm like, God, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if tongues is part of it, okay. All right, I'll do it. Whatever. It's weird, but okay.
Yeah.
Go on the next day, and my friend says, did you pray? And I said, yeah. And he's like, anything happen yet? And I'm like, no. He's like, just keep praying. So now it's a Thursday night, and now I'm like raising my fist to God, and I'm like, hey, give it to me. You know, like, you said that I'm supposed to have this, so I want it. I said, I want all the gifts. I want to speak in tongues. I want to heal people. I want all the things. I want all of it. Whatever you have, I want it. Went to bed and nothing happened. That next morning, I was actually not going to be at work. I was flying down to Birmingham, Alabama to go to a board meeting. So I get on the airplane, Scott drives me there 5:30 in the morning. I get on the airplane and I'm the kind of person, I get my hoodie on, I put my hood up, I have my headphones on, I even put my sunglasses on. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I put on my Jesus music. I was listening to Chris Tomlin, Burning Lights, and I hunker down and I'm just going to go to sleep. I have my blankie and everything. We get to about 30,000 feet and we level off. The lights come on saying you can get up and go to the bathroom if you need to. And it was right about that point that I just started feeling from my toes up, I was being filled, like literally being filled. It felt like liquid love. Wow. And I could feel the level of the water just coming up from my toes all the way up through my body. And I was just completely and utterly filled. And I could just feel his love, like tangibly feel it. All I could think about were videos of charismatic people like, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, not on the airplane.
Not that.
I'm like, what if there's a marshal here and I'll get arrested?
I don't want to go viral.
Literally. And my body felt like it was just full of bumblebees.
Okay.
Or electricity. I could feel it in every part of my body. Just, you know, I knew what it was. I knew it was happening. And I just started crying. Mm. And I'm on an airplane. People are looking at me. And I didn't do anything weird. I didn't fall down in the aisle or get up. I was just completely by myself in my seat. Like, nobody's really looking at me, but I was crying. My face was just soaking wet. It just that the bumblebee electric feeling stayed for about 4 to 5 days. And I couldn't sleep or eat for like 4 or 5 days. I was just so filled. In fact, this is weird. When I got to my meeting, I didn't want anything to do with it. I just wanted to be alone with the Lord.
Yes.
So I was like really put out. I'm like, oh, yes. I just want to be alone with God, you know. Of course, I texted my friend and he was so excited. He's like, are you speaking in tongues? And I said, no. And he's like, dude, start doing it. And I was like, I'm in a meeting. You know? So I was like, I'll get to it. But a lot of my friends at the board meeting, a lot of my, you know, sisters who were there, several of them at different times said, oh, Jen, you're glowing. Mm, oh, you're radiant.
Wow.
All I could think of was Moses coming off the mountain and his face was bright.
It was.
And so I ran to the bathroom to see if I was glowing because it was weird. Like, it was different people in different contexts. Wow, Jen, you're really glowing. And I'm like, do they mean that? And I did go to the bathroom and I didn't see me glowing, but they saw something. So that night, I listened to a video from Derek Prince on how to speak in tongues and couldn't sleep. You know, like I said, I couldn't sleep or eat for about 4 or 5 days. Got up the next morning at about 6:30 before my meetings would start. Went out into the parking lot by myself and I just started speaking. And like anyone that starts speaking in tongues, a lot of times we feel like we're faking it. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, that's me. No, that's weird. Mm-hmm. That's weird. Mm-hmm. You know, Derek Prince had said, when you start, the enemy's going to attack you and make you feel like you're faking it. As soon as that happened, I was like, oh yeah, Derek said that would happen. So I just prayed and I said, God, forgive my doubt, increase my faith. And I started again. You know, by the time I was done, which was probably only 5 minutes, I was fluent, whatever that would mean. You know, I was fluently speaking a language. Derek Prince says, start speaking a language you've never spoken before. And I did not grow up in a charismatic or Pentecostal background, so I'd never heard tongues before. The Holy Spirit was having to really do it for me because I had no clue. It really sounded like I was speaking languages, but I had no idea what I was saying. So then I text my friend, I'm doing it, I'm speaking in tongues. And he says, are you prophesying? And I said,
what?
No. And he's like, all right, ask God to interpret your tongues. And I was like, okay. I said, Lord, I'm going to speak in tongues. Can you give me the interpretation? Because the Bible actually says, ask for interpretation. Mm-hmm. And so I did that and I spoke in tongues. I just heard Jesus in my head, you will be bold. I will give it to you.
Wow.
And that was it. And I texted my friend. I'm like, yeah, I prophesied.
Yeah. It sounds like you had a great friend there, you know, encouraging and guiding.
Very good. All the way through. Yeah. He was a great teacher. Yeah. For several years. He and our elders were back at home.
Not happy.
I was fascinated by it. And again, this is all happening 1500 miles away from me. I was intrigued. I was also allowing our pastor and elders at the time sort of, you know, answer some of these questions. And the questions in my head are like, what's going on? Because we were at an SBC church. We'll just say that the SBC generally is open and intentionally ambiguous about sort of the continuance of the Holy Spirit and the gifts. I wasn't sure what to think because it wasn't really part of our tradition. I was confused. And at the same time, she's not prone to making things up or anything like that. And so I was concerned,
I think there's
but intrigued.
And I think there's a respect level as Christians for stepping out and allowing or receiving a gift that the Lord gave you. For some, they don't feel that's necessary, you know, and just having a level of respect for both. I remember me and my husband, we were in a charismatic church whenever I got saved. And I remember going to a prayer thing because it was the gifts night, you know, we're going to go and get prayed over for gifts. And I was so excited because I'm going to have the gift of tongue. And it was so funny because we went, my husband's like, I don't care. I'm just going whatever God wants. God wants, you know, total different personality, right? Because I'm like, give me whatever you want to give me. Yeah. And my husband's like, yeah. He'll just do whatever, you know, no big deal. He's all relaxed. And we left that night and I had sounds like clicking, which I believe is tongues. He had this language. What's up with this, God? I was like, and then I had to repent later because I was like, Lord, no, I'm so sorry.
Tongues, jealousy, I'll take my breath.
So human. Oh, Lord.
Now, Scott feels like he can speak in tongues in his head.
I can.
Okay.
I've heard other people say that.
Uh-huh. Hear tongues, but my mouth parts don't move.
Yeah.
Mouth parts. Yeah.
I can hear it. It's when I try and speak, it doesn't. And so I'm not sure what to do with that. I'm not sure what God's doing with that, but.
And that's why I say, you know, timing. All of the different denominations that mm-hmm. we have, mm-hmm. all of the Lord, these different parts mm-hmm. of God, mm-hmm. parts of the Holy Spirit, that I think we move forward when the Lord gives it and we move mm-hmm. forward when he doesn't, and we're all serving the Lord.
The church we're all currently at, before we started going there, you know, we had spoken to our pastor of the church that we were at. His exact words were, same team.
Exactly.
And so it was very interesting to, you know, hear that. And it was like, okay, good.
And I love that because that's so important, I mm-hmm. think, especially in our society, that we just raise up and come together, even in our differences.
Right. Christ and him crucified.
Exactly. Yep. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He died on the cross, raised from the dead for our sins. Mm-hmm. All of that. You got that basic core.
Yep.
Yeah. It's all good.
I think there are bona fides. There are the bedrock. And as long as we're square on that,
exactly,
then to me, it's like, it's all good. We're on the same team.
Yeah, I love Amen. That. So this Holos, do you know when it's starting? You're going to be doing podcasts?
In October, I'll launch kind of our first event. It'll be a free webinar. Put that out on social media and just invite everybody. Free content plus paid stuff.
And you'll still be working with the vets as you do this? You'll
yep.
be doing
I'll both? Maintain my job.
Okay.
Yep.
And
yeah,
there's there's going to be a section of the site that have free for veterans as well. So that's
yeah,
going to
all
be,
my veteran content will be free. All of it.
And so this event that we're working on will be a free event that we'll just sort of start talking about the Holy Spirit. We are developing, and I say we, Jen is developing the material that will eventually become an e-course and another book that will be paid, but this event is free and it's sort of an introduction to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. That's really awesome. So you're just bringing both things together.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It'll be a mixture of free and paid content. Scott and I will do some fun things together. Mm-hmm. That'll be free and that'll just be on my site. Anyone will be able to download it. You know, God's timing is always perfect. He's been talking to me about writing a book for years, all through 2022, giving me the blueprint for Holos. And my youngest child graduated high school in 2022. Mm-hmm. So we became empty nesters. And so, you know, he just freed us up to be able to do that.
I remember when my two oldest went off to college and I just had my youngest and I started getting like, what am I going to do the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. And just really trying to figure that out. It's just the reality that our lives aren't over.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's this whole other aspect of our life, because I don't mean to disclude you dad, but like for me, I went to 3 kids' games and just driving them everywhere, doing everything. And then all of a sudden, one day you wake up and you're like, I don't have anywhere to go. I just love God's perfect time.
Yeah.
And now like you're saying that you're empty nesters, that's kind of where I'm at. God's not done yet.
No.
You know?
Completely new chapter. I mean, completely new chapter.
Yeah. When Caleb moved out, we moved Bethany up to his room. So we've been converting Bethany's room into a studio. So that's where the whole stuff will be.
People asked what I was going to be doing, kind of embarrassingly said, I'm becoming a content creator. I'm like an almost 50-year-old woman and I'm going to become a content creator.
And you know what? God will do what God's going to do.
Yeah,
and I'm just so excited for you to step out in faith and do that. Because that's, I guess, goes into my next question. What kind of obstacles do you find that you have to overcome.
Yeah, I am an introvert. I have to get over that. I have spoken in front of large crowds. I've been on platforms in front of hundreds of people. I can speak. I've spoken at conferences, events, things like that, working with the vets, and I do group and I have no problem doing that. I think I'll be fine. But the social media part, just kind of putting yourself out there, even this podcast, you know, just gives one a vulnerable feeling, exposed. So just kind of getting over that, you know, because no doubt when we serve the Lord, you are truly serving him as he's called you, you're going to come against warfare. And I know that. And so, you know, the gates are going to start to open. And so I just need to be steady with that. I'm not afraid of the enemy. I've encountered demon principalities and I've had to encounter them in intercessory type situations. I'm not afraid. I understand my authority in Christ. I understand that I have authority over the demons. The Lord's given me a voice, kind of like you did, you know, when your anxiety came back, you said, nope, in the name of Jesus, go away. And that's exactly right. When we understand our identity and our authority in Christ, you know, Ephesians 2, the Father set Jesus above every other authority, every throne, every power and principality. And then what does Jesus do? He seats us in heavenly places.
Amen.
With our spirits are seated with him right now. And I don't believe that's a later thing. I believe that's now. I believe our spirits are sitting with him right now because we are spiritual beings. You know, it says all those who are led by the Holy Spirit are sons of God. And so I believe that, you know, our spirits are very engaged in the heavenly realms as well as the earthly realms. Someone being prophetic, you know, the Lord has shown me that we do engage both realms. Hebrews talks about coming confidently to the throne of grace. Mm-hmm. That's a real thing. That's not hyperbole. There really is a throne of grace and our spirits go there. When we pray to the Lord, our spirit is there at the throne of grace. It's all real.
So you're spiritually confirmed in moving forward.
The spiritual part, no problem with. You know what? When I wrote the book, could have edited a million times. I could have done this and done that. I've already thought of things I can do for a second edition. Sometimes you just have to pull the trigger. You just have to say,
well, at some
gotta
point,
do it.
You have to say enough is enough and just put it forward, you know, or else you're just never going to get out there. I'm so happy for you. And
thank
I'm
you.
Happy
thank
for
you.
Everybody that's going to be joining your groups. Do you have the website up and running yet?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, the website is at holosolutions.net, all one word, holosolutions.net. There is a link to the book there. The e-courses will be coming soon. So it is a work in progress. It will be updated regularly. We are also on Facebook, Instagram,
and Twitter.
Pop on there, and you want any updates, they can just follow you guys on that.
Absolutely.
Do you guys want to end in prayer? Do you have any scriptures you want to share that maybe the Lord has put on your life to help you move forward?
One of my verses, especially working with the veterans, is Galatians 6:2. Share one another's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. When I said, I'll walk with them when they get back, I'll be with them when they get back, that's me taking on their burdens. Because, you know, at that point, we knew that combat vets, war veterans had PTSD, shell shock, you know, whatever people would know it as. So I knew they would be carrying a burden. And since I was in mental health, I would help them carry that. And I think God's calling me to do that within the Christian community, to help Christians overcome mental health barriers. I think a lot of Christians feel completely disqualified because of their mental health. They just feel like, well, I'm broken. I'm not ever going to be able to serve the Lord like my pastor or that person or these people that I see on YouTube or on stages and platforms.
Which is just a lie of the enemy.
Exactly. Like I said, I've had PTSD. You said you've experienced anxiety and panic attacks. Here we are serving the Lord on a platform. I believe every single follower of Christ is called to something great, that we are supposed to have dominion over the earth. That goes back to the garden, Adam and Eve. Take dominion over all the earth. I believe that we still have that mandate. God doesn't want his people to be weak and quiet. He wants them to be bold and strong, leading things, leading the earth in the ways of Christ.
And I really believe that. It's such a time as this. I just really feel like God is raising up people. And that's kind of what this podcast is. I spoke on one of the episodes. If anybody feels like the Lord is putting on their heart to share what he's doing in their life or something that he's calling them to, let us know. We're a community podcast.
Absolutely.
We just really want to get behind the Lord and what he's doing in people's lives to be his hands and feet into the world today. Because I know God's raising up a lot of people.
Yeah, pastors and leaders of churches cannot do it all. And they're literally not meant to. They're meant to equip us, and we are meant to go out into the world and be that, you know, be the hands and feet of Christ. I just want to help my brothers and sisters who feel disqualified and very stuck. You know, they love the Lord. They wish they could serve him. They just don't believe that they can because of what they're going through. I just know that that's not true.
I think even to that, you know, a perfect example of that is that Jesus dealt with anxiety. He was so overcome with what he knew was going to happen that he literally sweat blood. That was for him a very anxious moment. But it's not sinful to struggle. You might think you're broken. You might feel broken. That's something you're walking through. I think there's probably people out there that feel defeated and that feel like they're, like Jen said, unqualified because they have this struggle in their life, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. I did feel it was important to talk about what Holos isn't. Holos isn't meant to replace a church. We think you need to be involved in a local body of believers with people. Don't think that this is a ministry that is going to replace your church. That is 100% not the intent. And this is not meant to replace therapy. If you have a therapist that you're working with and walking through this with, we encourage you to continue with that relationship. It's important that you get the help that you need. This is not full-time therapy. This is meant to be a tool to assist in that. We don't want people to think that, well, this is good enough. You should be walking with a local body of believers that preaches the gospel. We are a ministry, but we're not a church. And this is not sort of meant to replace your therapy. So if you're getting help, please continue getting that help. Those are just two things I really thought we needed to cover for sure.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Of course.
I think that's very important. Okay, so we're going to pray over your ministry, you know, join in, and we're going to pray for our listeners. But I just want to thank you for our time here today. Lord, I just want to pray a blessing over this ministry. I know that your hand is upon it. Father God, I just pray that you continue to move through Jen and Scott. And I just pray that this ministry that you have placed on their heart will continue to grow, bringing multitudes, Father God, to you with healing and new vision for what you have for their life, Lord. Freedom. They can walk in freedom in who you've called them to be.
Lord Jesus, I really want to scare the enemy because I know there are so many people he has been lying to. I just speak over Holos that would set people free from mental health bondage, Lord, that these people will be set free to run into their destiny with you, Lord, and that some of them have great things to do for you, Lord. And I hope the enemy's scared. He should be. We're at a time in history where you, Lord, are calling on your people to rise up. My goal, Lord, is that Holos would just reach those that are feeling unqualified, feeling unheard, invalidated. Lord, that you do have the answer for them, that you love them so much, Lord. And so I just speak over Holos, Lord, that they would hear your voice through us, Lord, and that they will overcome, that they will be supernaturally healed from their afflictions, Lord, that the enemy will be defeated. Not them. They are not defeated. The enemy will be defeated. Amen. And Lord Jesus, that you would just bring anyone that would come into the tools of Holos Solutions, Lord, that you would bring them into their greater destiny and calling in you, Lord Jesus.
Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity and that we can come together and talk about this ministry, Lord. I pray that you would allow us to continue to be your hands and feet, Lord. Whoever's out there struggling with these issues, remind them who they are and whose they are. Remind them that they are important and valuable and needed, that they are all a part of the body of Christ, and that we will get through this together by his power, by his grace, not on our own, but by his. And we ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank our listeners for joining the conversation today. Praying the Lord spoke to each and every one of you and believing we can move forward together and shine as bright lights in our communities. For more information about today's guest, please be sure to go to the episode show notes. If you found this podcast engaging and encouraging, please consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing these episodes with your friends and family. It's the best way to help the Morningstar Bright Lights community grow together as we share our experiences and insights for reaching New England and the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you or someone you know is shining the light of Christ and feels led to share what the Lord is doing and has done in and through your life, we would love to hear about it. Please go to podcast@morningstarbookstore.com and leave us a message. Visit our Morningstar Bookstore locations and discover our wide selection of Christian books, Bibles, and gifts. Also visit our website at morningstarbookstore.com for more selections and direct-to-home shipping. On behalf of the entire team at Morningstar Christian Bookstore, thanks for joining the conversation.